Hi everyone. I just wanted to pop in here before today's episode to share some important news. So at the beginning of the year, I dramatically reduced the price of the Families Fly Free membership by hundreds of dollars because I wanted to give everyone a chance to be able to get in, to join, and to learn how to fly for free in a simple way and do it at a lower price. But unfortunately, I'm having to bring that reduced price to an end now. The cost to run a membership with such a high level of support, along with the best in technology for our webinars, our content, our forum, and other aspects of membership, continues to rise. And it's super important to me to maintain the highest quality membership. So I wanted to let you know that soon the cost to join Families Fly Free will go back up, ending our temporary, very discounted offer. But I'm giving you, my podcast listeners, advance warning first so you can take advantage while this super low price is still here. And through Friday, May 3rd, I'm throwing in 5,000 Southwest points as a bonus when you join as well. That said, there are limited spots available at this current low price because I want to make sure we can onboard everyone and provide our same amazing support and top level of service. So, if you've been thinking about joining, now would be the time to do it. So, you can lock in at this price and you might as well get some free Southwest points to boot. So it's time to get off your keister and make a decision and do this thing that will change your family's lives. Don't let another day pass without a plan to make more travel memories with your family. Tomorrow is not guaranteed, so I encourage you, take action now, and I hope you will join us in Families Fly Free. You can go to familiesflyfree.com/join.
Do you love to travel and save money? Or do you wish you could travel but money is holding you back? You're in the right place. Welcome to the Families Fly Free podcast, where I show you how to fly your family free forever using my simple fly free formula. I'm your host, Lynn Mettler. My family of four has mastered the art of flying free as simply as possible since 2015. And I want to show your family how to do it too.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Families Fly Free podcast. I'm your host, Lynn Mettler. Today we're going to talk all things tours and tour companies, and if you should consider a tour for your next vacation. So I've invited Christine Sarkis to join us today to give us some tips on how to decide if a tour is right for you and your family. And if so, how to choose the right tour and the right company. So Christine is a co-founder and editor of Vacationist Media, along with Josh Roberts, who I've known back since I did travel PR a few minutes ago. But he and I were on a trip together many years ago to Gozo on an island that's part of Malta. Very beautiful place if you haven't been. But Vacationist Media operates the Tour Scoop and Family Vacationist websites. And Christine is the former executive editor of Smarter Travel, which is a travel publication owned by TripAdvisor. And her work has been published in all kinds of publications, including Condé Nast Traveler and USA Today. And she's been quoted in many outlets for her travel tips as well. So welcome, Christine.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Can you tell us, just tell us a little bit about Tour Scoop and why you created that and what its goal is?
Sure. So one of the questions that Josh and I got over, you know, two decades of travel writing and editing is from people who were curious about tours, but it's a big, you know, it's a big, tends to be a big investment. So they wanted to make sure they were going with a trustworthy, good company. And so, you know, we would answer these questions individually, but what we really wanted to do was start a website where we could go deep into giving people information about and great advice about guided multi-day tours.
So do you recommend these types of tours for families? Do you think it can be a good fit?
So much. I really believe in it being a great fit for families to go on tours, not exclusively, but I think it's a great thing to sort of add to your family travel arsenal. Years ago, I was interviewing someone from Intrepid about its family tours, and the person said something that, and this was way before I had kids, and it's just something that really stuck with me. They said, a tour is a chance to sort of even the family playing field and for everyone to learn together and for that leader role to fall to someone outside of the family, which I love and have found to be so true when I'm traveling with my family. And it's like, yeah, on a tour, you're going to still be in charge of your kids, but like there are so many complicated moments that are just sort of beyond your family bubble, like departure times, when you're eating, stuff like that, those friction points. That's all like up to someone else, and everybody just gets to be an adventurer together. It's also super great for multi-generational or big family groups. I have on both sides of my family, I have big, there's my husband's family and my family. There's just a lot of us. And so the idea of being able to travel with people you love in a way where it's not up to one person or a couple of the family members to be the people who are like making everything happen. It's like everyone gets to go on vacation, which is so great with family travel.
Yeah, because that can be a burden for one person to A, have to do all the work, and then B, try to incorporate something that everyone will enjoy, right? That's a big task to ask of one person. Because I've heard of, families taking these big trips and they're like, I have to get everyone to contribute. Okay, what would you like to do? What would you like to do? And try to make it so that there's something for everyone,
Exactly. And on every trip, there's going to be a tour leader, but it's kind of nice when that tour leader is actually a tour leader and not you.
So nice. That sounds delightful to not have to worry about when we're going to eat and where and all those kind of things. I
Exactly.
know I was sharing with Christine before we started. I did travel or did public relations for some different tour companies over the years, and I've just learned some of the ones that are family oriented too. Like a good tour guide does a great job of like getting the kids involved in the tour too, like catering to different ages and things that might be of interest to the littlest kid that might not be of interest to the teenager, but kind of getting everyone into the mix. That do you find that?
Absolutely. I think one of the great things about tour companies that cater to families is that they hire guides that love kids, right? And know how to interact with kids, which is a big deal, you know? And it's like that not only means that there are like kid-oriented activities, but it also means that like these are people who are sort of like, in my experience, endlessly patient with like the questions and antics of kids. And I think that's such a gift because as a parent, when you're traveling, it's like it's nice to be able to take a little break from answering. I mean, if you have like I have a very curious kid who asks like hundreds of questions every day. And it was so amazing. I was on an Adventures by Disney trip to Peru. And at one point I had this feeling and I couldn't quite identify it. But then I realized it was a feeling of relaxation. And I looked over, and my kid was still asking 100 questions a day, but he was just asking them to this tour guide who was just like totally in it with him and like so excited to answer all these questions. And it was such a moment.
Give mom and dad a break from the questions. Yeah, I had one like that too, who was just never ending with the questions. And it's great, like you want them to ask, but it does get tiring after a while. So
That's exactly it.
this is someone's paid job to answer all those questions. How delightful.
Exactly. Exactly. If only we had that in the rest of life too.
We bring that person home, right? Are there certain destinations that you think lend themselves to tours more than others?
Yeah, so this is an interesting question. I think that there's sort of two ways of looking at it. You can think about destinations that are great for tours because they're really family friendly, and then destinations that are great for tours because they're kind of challenging, especially with kids. So like a family friendly destination that would be good for a tour might be like national parks, where you get to go like really deep into national parks in a way that you might not on your own if you're on a tour. And then there are those places that are a little more challenging. So this might be like any place your family dreams of going, but where there's like language, logistics, or like access might be a problem, or places that are like hard to get to, or there's not very many, but like culturally, there's not a lot of English spoken, or there's different writing systems. Like there's just all sorts of ways in which traveling with family can be a lot easier on a tour. So I think that those are two good ways of sort of thinking about the destinations that lend themselves to being good for tours.
Yeah, and we were just in Costa Rica for spring break, and I feel like anytime you're traveling internationally, you have to figure out all of those things, like what's the currency and what the voltage and do they speak English? What language do you need to speak? How do you tip? And those kind of things are just, they take care of all of, like, they know all of that. They tell you anytime, right? So I think that's, for me, that's one of the most stressful parts of travel internationally is figuring out all of those little things that are different in every country you go to.
Exactly. And then that, like those friction moments, right? Like the you land, you're in a new place. And then on a tour, you're gonna have someone like come and collect you from the airport instead of like, you know, dragging your luggage and your kids who are jet lagged and you're all trying to get into a taxi or, you know, it's just like all of those moments are smoothed, which I think is such a gift for, because you have a limited amount of time with your kids when they're kids. Yes. And so to make family travel just that much easier so you can really concentrate on making good memories. I think it's genius.
Yeah. And I'm so big on make those memories while your kids are at home and also while they want to go still. Because as teens, they often don't want to go anymore.
I know. We're right on the cusp of that. My oldest is 12 and I'm like, oh, we have to make every minute count.
Got a couple more years left and then, then they're going to want to be hang out with friends. But so there's different types of tours you can take, right? Like I did a lot of work with like hiking companies and biking tours and that type of thing. And I know there were certain restrictions on ages of kids. And so could you just go through like what some of the different types of tours are and kind of how to narrow them down?
Yeah. So I think there's so many ways in which tour companies differentiate themselves, right? There's tour companies that are like very specifically family friendly. So that's, something like Adventures by Disney. And then you have tour companies that are more general tour companies, but they have family specific departures. So they have Talk has Talk Bridges, which are specifically for families. Austin Adventures, which I know you know well, has Made for Families Adventures. Intrepid and G Adventures, which are both sort of more like outdoorsy adventure tour companies. They both have specific family tours, and REI Adventures does too. And then you have like more upscale tour providers like Abercrombie and Kent and Butterfield and Robinson that also have family specific tours. There's also like a little bit more niche, but there's companies like Road Scholar, which is generally geared towards older travelers, but has these like amazing multi-gen tours. And they have specifically, it's like my favorite. I have not been on one because I'm not a grandparent at this point, but they have these grandparent grandkid trips, which just seem amazing. And then there's things like there's tour companies that specialize, you know, like you said, in like bike trips, which can be good, especially for families with like older, more active athletic kids. And then there's like something like Lindblad, which is expedition cruising, which has a very cool program where if it has a certain, so during, I think it's during school vacations, and then if they have us or a, like, and if they have, or if they have, sorry, I have to, wait, let me parse this a little bit. So Lindblad's options are they have a field educator during school holidays and if there's more than a certain number of families on a departure. So that means they have like tons of organized like kids activities like you know, they're ship-based tours. So kids learn to drive the Zodiacs, which, by the way, adults do not get to do. So it's like a very special thing. And doing lots of like different types of citizen science, like plankton toes and things like that. So it's just like companies really out there doing really special things. There are also a lot of tour companies that will allow kids on trips, but don't specifically have like family-focused departure dates.
So, would you recommend like a hiking or a biking tour for families?
I think the thing to do is to figure out sort of the pace, the interests, the priorities, and the physical level of your family. If your family is big into hiking and biking, then absolutely. If your family is not big into hiking and biking, this is probably not the time to try it out. I think you have to, it has to be something that your family likes to do in real life, for it to be a good fit on a tour.
And I will offer, like, I did one bike trip with a company, and I'm not a big biker, but I actually found it to be way easier than I thought it would be. In that you could, this particular one, you could go at your own pace. They kind of gave you the step-by-step directions that you followed yourself, kind of with a group. But anyway, I just, it wasn't as challenging as I would have thought. And most of them do include, right? Like the how challenging it is. Like this is an extremely challenging
Yes.
hiking tour, or this is a more easy, moderate one. So that would be something to keep an eye on too.
Yeah, definitely pay attention to that. I think that because you want it to be a good fit, right? And I think that that's also why when you're thinking about like what in terms of choosing a tour with your family, like really choose that tour with your family. Like think about you can do sort of the groundwork and sort of create a narrowed list of options, but making sure that everyone is bought into both the activities and the just the bigger destination and idea, I think goes really, really far in everybody having a good time.
And so you have reviews of some of these tours and companies on your site, right?
Exactly. Come to TourScoop. So
Yeah.
TourScoop.com has we look at guided tours from a variety of angles. So we go really deep on reviewing tour companies so people can feel confident about booking. So we'll go into like, you know, the like, is this a reputable tour company? Who do they focus on? What do they offer? What's sort of the price range? How big are their groups? All of that stuff. We do also reviews of individual itineraries. We also just give general advice. Like one of our favorite things to do is look at, say, a country like Japan and be like, these are 10 amazing tours you can take in Japan this year. And then just the more advicey stuff, like how much do you tip a tour guide, you know, things like this.
And can you tell us a little bit more about Road Scholar? Because that is one that I've just heard people, I've forgotten about that. Like I knew about that many years ago, and I've just heard people recently just, you know, saying how amazing the trips are. Because it's really oriented towards like learning, isn't it?
It's very, very learning oriented. So it years ago, maybe a decade ago or more, it was Elder Hostel, and then they changed their name to Road Scholar. It tends to attract a lot of retired educators. So teachers, professors, because it's so, but it's not exclusively for retired, you don't have to be a retired educator to go on these trips. But it's really, really learning focused. And so it's a great place if you're a curious traveler to get in there and know that if you're asking a lot of questions, you're in good company. They have a lot of lectures and things like that, and sort of those like downtimes in transitions. They also have some cool things like they have trips where you can stay in one place, like in a city, and you know, learn sort of like language and culture. So if you want to go deeper into a place, yeah, and then they have these lovely multi-generational family trips that are great for families and specifically for grandparents and grandkids. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I'm a total nerd and I love to learn. So I think that would be, I'm always like,
Oh,
tell me everything about where I am and all the history and all the culture. And, you know, I think that would be
so
really
it's, yeah, it sounds like a great fit for you.
All right. So once you've kind of narrowed down on a type of tour, just any advice for trying to pick between companies? Obviously, Disney is a good one, but how to find like the right fit?
Yeah, so I think so there's something that's sort of interesting on about those family-oriented tours, which again, a lot of there's the tours that primarily do family travel like Disney. And then there are all these this much bigger group of tour companies that have family-friendly departures. But I think when you're thinking about whether or not to opt for a family-friendly departure, like a family-specific departure, or a more general just tour departure where kids are allowed, is that there's this magic to two things that come out of those family tours. One is there's kid-specific activities. And then the other thing is that there's often kids for your kids to play with.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Which makes such a difference, right? It keeps kids happy, it keeps them occupied. Also, kids can match other kids' energy levels, which parents can't always. And I think it just makes it creates these friendships that I think can go far beyond just the tour. Both of my kids have started like sort of old-fashioned pen pal.
That's so
I
cool.
mean, yeah, so there's been a couple of letters, but it's also email. But it's just, it's such a great way for kids to meet other kids beyond, the kids at their school or at their, in their sports teams, things like that. Yeah, and I think that in terms of those tour companies, I talked about it a little bit, but I'm just trying to figure out sort of like what. Are you a more, do you want more of an adventure? Do you want something that's a little more upscale? Do you want hiking and biking? So it's like that's going to help you narrow it down to begin with. And then from there, you can start digging into the companies that are going to be the best fit. And then from there, you can start looking at destinations and itineraries.
And are there certain companies that are known for particular destinations?
So I think that in terms of so like, well, I don't know. That's a good question because I think most of the bigger companies, I think, have a really broad reach at this point. So I think some of it depends on sort of how you want to see a country or a place. So it's like national parks, it might be the best fit to do a company that really does focus on the outdoors. So that would be something like, REI Adventures or Intrepid or G Adventures or what Wilderness, what was the company you were just telling me about before
Well,
we
yeah,
talked?
so Wilderness Travel, which is an amazing one, but they tend to really pick like these hidden gems that you would never know about that are just the most amazing places when you like read about it and you see the pictures and that not everyone's going to, so they don't hit all they're I don't I think they might have US tours now, but they did not when I pre-COVID, they did not do anything in the US, but I think they had to add that in during COVID, but yeah, it's just the places, it's not the places everybody else goes that they pick. So if you like that kind of sense of adventure and places you would not have known about otherwise, they do a fantastic job of curating those places.
Oh, that's good. I love that. I'm excited to sort of dig into that one more. And then there are companies that are really good at those like bucket list, like amazing experiences. So that's like, I don't know, like Talk is pretty good at that. Adventures by Disney. These places like with Adventures by Disney, it was an interesting experience to go to Machu Picchu for the first time at the same time as my kids' first time, where we were all experiencing this, like, kind of like for many people, once in a lifetime destination. And we were doing it together. And we were doing it in a way where we could all, because one of us, that's code for me, wasn't so involved in like the figuring out the train schedule and then the bus schedule and then the getting in and everything. It's like we could all just be along for the ride and really be hyper present for the experience of seeing you know, like just this iconic, beautiful place for the first time.
Now, how old were your kids when you did that?
Let's see, they were 9 and 11, I think.
That
Maybe
seems
9
like
and 10.
good ages. So how did they do with that whole, because that's a deal, like getting there and right and getting back and yeah.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I think they were the perfect age. There was one 6-year-old on the trip who I think it was just a lot. She was amazing, but you know, you could see that she was just like right up against the edge of her patience. But like, yeah, I think anywhere from like maybe like I think the suggestion on that trip is maybe eight years old. But gosh, it was, they loved it. They still talk about it. They still refer to it. And it's just like, I think it's, and they're also at the age where they have those permanent memories. And so it's lovely to think about them as adults thinking back on themselves and like really having this deep sense of themselves as like adventurous people in the world, because I think that can really like nurture a confidence in that's useful for both travel and just life in general.
Yeah, because I think when we take our kids to these places, you know, outside of our own little comfort zone, then like you're saying, when they like, cause I was scared to death for the first time to go out of the country as an adult. I never really done that, you know, but they're going to have just done that. That's just have part of their life experience. So I don't think they're not going to have those fears. It just seems normal, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Or they'll have those, cause I think there's still that like sort of like somewhere between fear and thrill that you get from going to a new place. And I think because they will have a greater familiarity with it, they'll be able to, I don't know, like open up to it more. And when they have that feeling, it'll be a like, okay, like that doesn't mean you don't do this adventure, right? It's like, it's a reason to go forward.
Right. That's a cue. You're it going in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So these tours can be very pricey, right?
Yes.
Are there any more affordable options for people?
Yeah. So actually there's tour companies really, truly across the price and experience spectrum. And so I think the thing to remember is that pricier doesn't even mean better. It generally means that the hotels you will be staying in are nicer, but budget tour companies or tour companies that are less expensive don't tend to scrimp on experience, and they often have really incredible guides. So I wouldn't think about it in terms of the experience being any less. It's more that the comforts are more, the sort of the higher up the price spectrum you get. And I think another thing to think about, because I know that sometimes people are put off on the idea of tours when they look, because they're looking at a total price, right? And which includes, you know, entries into places, transportation, hotels,
yeah,
all of that.
A lot of times.
And so, yeah, when you're, it's not an apples to apples comparison if you're just sort of like a la carte pricing. So I think that it's important to remember that like they're usually priced fairly close to what you could do yourself if you were willing to actually book all of those things yourself. But you get the additional sort of benefit of with a tour of getting all these experiences that are actually really, really hard to coordinate as an individual.
So since we are teaching people how to fly for free using frequent flyer miles, can you book the flight portion yourself in points and then just pay the remainder like when you're booking?
Yeah, absolutely. Most tours don't automatically include airfare in the base price. Most tour companies will help you book airfare, but you don't need to. And I think most, I would say, this is absolutely like an anecdotal guess, but I think most people don't necessarily use the tour company to book their air travel. I think because people, you know, are wanting to book with points or they want to book on a particular airline, or they want, you know, maybe they just want like a, they want to fly in a few days early and get a little more time in a destination.
Yeah, because usually you just need to be there at a particular time, right?
Exactly.
To start the tour, and then you'll be done at a particular time, and then you can do what you want from there.
Yeah. And I think the only advice I have there is don't cut it too close if you're booking on your own, because you don't want to miss the beginning of the tour, especially if it's a tour that then goes somewhere else where you'd have to then play catch up to get to wherever the tour is if you showed up late.
Be like a cruise, kind of.
For instance, a cruise. Yeah, exactly.
And we all know these days there's, a good chance of delays or cancellations. So you want to, I think a good practice is to at least get there the day before, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Do you have some tour company suggestions that are more affordable?
Yeah. So I think sort of some of those more, we've talked a little bit about them. The adventure tour companies tend to be a little more affordable. So that's, Intrepid, G Adventures, REI Adventures, things like that. I think these are more like Trafalgar welcomes kids after a certain age, not like little kids. Globus has a more affordable brand called Cosmos that can be good for older kids. So I think when you're looking, I think drilling down to the price of the itinerary, like of the particular itinerary, and then doing just a little comparison, like seeing what other tour companies that are giving sort of a similar experience are going to similar spaces and places. And then just doing a little, having that be your comparison, is looking at the particular itinerary and then across a couple of different tour companies.
Another one I used to work with, I forgot about, is Backroads. They're another really good one.
Oh yeah. Yes.
That does hiking and biking. And I think they're pretty mid-range, aren't they, in price? I feel like they are. And Austin Adventures is too. I think they're more.
Yeah.
Travel is going to be like premium, but.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the thing is even within the same tour companies, often they will have sort of like a higher end trip and then like a more basic accommodation trip. And that's going to create a price difference as well. I wouldn't rule out a tour company just because they have more expensive trips, because sometimes there's also less expensive trips in the mix.
Okay. All right. And so you mentioned Machu Picchu. Are there some other trips that stand out in your mind that are favorites that you've done with your kids?
Okay, let's see. I love this question. So this, I did a, and this was this year, I went, on a Lindblad expedition cruise, that was Baja California. I think it's called Among the Great Whales. It happens during sort of baby whale season in Baja California. So it's like this incredible experience for families. Another one that I love, and I wish I should have asked Josh what the company was, but his teenage son loves extreme weather. And so they planned and then went on a tornado chasing tour. Oh, with like a very small, it was like a very niche company. This isn't something that most tour companies do,
right?
But it's like you're going out there with scientists and you're like being a citizen scientist. So they went storm chasing. I love the idea of taking a kid one-on-one before they go off to college for like a really big adventure based on their passions. And I think for me, like, as Josh told me about that, it made me think a lot about like, how do we as parents grow into parenting that next stage of our kids, right? Like our kids as they're moving toward adulthood and like really going all in on them with them on something that they're passionate about seems like a really great place to start.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned kind of that, like that big trip maybe before they graduate high school. And I do remember that was a popular thing with a lot of these tour companies, or to go on an anniversary or to celebrate grandpa's 80th birthday, or, that could, that's a great reason to splurge a little bit. And particularly like if we're teaching you how to, you know, most of the time you're paying points for flights and even for hotels a good bit of the time, that frees up some of your funds to do something like this, you know, that would be a little bit more of an indulgence, and that you really can just relax and not have to do all the planning and for a special occasion. I think that'd be a great, great opportunity to do one of these.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I think so, when I'm not writing about tours, I'm writing and editing about family travel for Family Vacationist. And one of the things that I've written about in the past is this idea of teaching kids about finances through travel. And one of the things that I think is kind of cool about like a bigger trip that you have to save for is it can be sort of an ongoing lesson in financial responsibility and also priorities, right? Like doing a big trip can be absolutely worth it, even if it takes a year to save for. And even if it means making some different decisions about like, okay, maybe we're not going to go on a trip for spring break, we'll just hang out and do some stuff around town. Because what we want to do is we want to save for this big summer trip. And I think like narrating that to kids, I think helps them learn how to navigate the financial side of both adulthood and travel.
Yes. And I love that. I think that's super important. And we have a webinar inside of my Families Fly Free membership about how to teach kids like the proper use of travel cards as they're getting into high school and maybe into college for that very same reason. Because sure, credit cards can be bad, but if you can teach them how to properly do this and slowly, you know, everyone needs credit to function in life, you know, show them how to do it. Put a small balance on, how let them pay it off with their own money, let them see if there's a late fee or what the interest is if they don't pay it, so they can learn those lessons early on. And what a great opportunity to do that and work it into saving for a trip and all of that when they're in your house, right? And you can role model that behavior for them before they get out in the world on their own and have never seen any of this before or thought about it. So many good opportunities that travel enables us to offer our kids, even beyond just seeing the amazing world we live in.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I love that. Okay. All right. Well, that was a great roundup of if you're considering a tour, if you haven't considered a tour, maybe you now want to consider a tour after listening to some of these amazing things that you can do. Can you tell us, Christine, where we can find you online?
Yes, come visit me. I'm at tourscoop.com. That's all about tours, expert advice about tours. And then familyvacationist.com. That is all about the many, many different sort of forms of family. So we talk about everything from families of two, so that's couples, to multi-generational and single parent families. Just like we family means so much to us, right? And it can look so many different ways. And it's such a great thing to be able to adventure with your family.
Yes, and same here at Families Fly Free. Families can be one person. I said can be couples. Yep. Can be, we have families of eight. So yeah, family is family, however it looks. Love it. All right. Well, thanks so much, Christine. And thanks everyone for listening to our episode. And we will catch you next week.
If you're ready to fly your family free forever, I invite you to join my Families Fly Free membership. You'll learn how to stop paying for airfare throughout the U.S., Caribbean, and Europe so you can make those priceless family travel memories before your kids or even your grandkids leave home for good. And you'll learn it using my simple, proven formula that's helped hundreds of families. You can get more information at familiesflyfree.com/join.